Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Super disappointed with the Force Awakens cereal. They just got it all wrong. It's corn-based cereal. I don't think corn-based cereal goes well with marshmallow bits. It's essentially Kix with, I don't know, Lucky Charms reject
this
marshmallows.
This became a Star Wars gourmet cereal podcast. How exciting. This is definitely a niche.
This is James Arnold Taylor, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. I have a good feeling about this.
Hello and welcome to show number 85 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking out of my Skywalker Ranch Fire Station mug. It's a huge mug, much larger than a regular one, actually, which seems appropriate as we have a huge show for you today. I want to welcome our new CWK family members, and hello again to each of you. Thank you for joining me once again for a cup of coffee and Star Wars conversation. We hope to make you think about Star Wars in a whole new way and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. On today's show, we have plenty of Star Wars discussion and analysis, including news of a directorial change for Episode 9, a conversation with Tim Leong, author of Star Wars Supergraphic, CWK newsman Tom Gross will bring us the latest Star Wars news, and in the coffee chat, we will look more closely at the Star Wars Rebels Season 4 trailer. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
I have an update for you, too, on Force Friday 2, what happened last week. It was a mixed blessing, for sure, because we had some challenges finding the merchandise, especially after it turned midnight and we went into the stores with excitement in our eyes and in our hearts. And then, of course, the figure selection was rather lacking. But I have great news. The local manager of Toys R Us here in Central Illinois was amazing, contacted me, and saved me a 3¾-inch Luke Skywalker from The Last Jedi, so I'm extremely appreciative. Thank you so much, my friend, for doing that. And it was just a wonderful gesture. I really appreciate it so much. Went out to Target and Walmart a couple of times, and I pretty much found everything I was looking for. I found the Black Series Luke Skywalker, Hera, and Thrawn. Got a couple more of the Hot Wheels Starships. Got some Funko Pops. So far, I have ordered the Porg and then Luke Skywalker from The Last Jedi, as well as the Chewbacca holding the Porg. I've suddenly, ironically, become Porg obsessed. I didn't think that was going to happen, but they're adorable, and my little boy loves them, so that is good enough for me. I want to encourage you to go to our Instagram page. We have an unboxing of a gift that Hasbro sent me for Force Friday 2, which was wonderful. Thank you again, Hasbro, for that gesture. There's a lot of things going on our Insta story as well, including some more unboxings and some looks at some of the Force Friday 2 toys that have come out from The Last Jedi, so please be sure to check that out. And I want to remind everybody of the CWK Force Friday Challenge, which, as you may recall from our last show, encourages you to donate half of what you spent on Force Friday towards victims of Hurricane Harvey because they have so many challenges and so many struggles going on. They need our help much more than we need new Star Wars collectibles, so definitely make sure to check that out and be a part of that. Joining us today for a cup of coffee is the creative director and lead producer of the Assembly of Geeks podcast network, Scott Murray.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Scott. Welcome back. You are rapidly approaching the most common guest on Coffee with Kenobi of all time. Glad to have you on the show again.
Well, thanks. It's good to know I'm rapidly headed somewhere good.
That's always good to hear. Yeah, your coffee mug has no dust on it, and you're heading in a good direction. Good direction.
Thanks for having me back.
You bet. And also joining us is your CWK newsman and all-around happy guy, Tom Gross.
See, I'm so happy. I'm already laughing.
Case in point.
I don't know if I've said this on the air or not, and this sounds worse than it actually is, but when Tom and I eat lunch together with my wife and a couple of other of our friends at school, and one of our goals is always to try to make Tom choke from laughter, and it usually works really well. I mean, he's still alive, thank goodness, but we have a lot of fun at lunch. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this conversation. And before we jump into the meat of the opening segment, how was your Force Friday, Scott?
Force Friday was pretty good. I found that, you know, because I'm a diehard shopper. So
that's the rumor. Even
when I don't have the budget, I at least like to go look at stuff.
Sure.
I thought it was not nearly as exciting and fun as it was for Episode 7. I noticed that Kohl's was not as impressive this time. In fact, where I live, there were very few things at Kohl's. JCPenney was okay. And just a lot of the other stores had, you know, they had some limited things, but it didn't seem nearly as big as it was for episode 7. Actually, some of the best stuff I got was at Order 66 Toys in Dallas. And they had a couple of T-shirts there.
I was gonna say you had to get some T-shirts.
Yeah, well, you know, the T-shirts weren't even all that great this year. I got one from JCPenney, and like I said, the others I found one at Walmart, and then these other two at Order 66. But yeah, I mean, it was fun. I just thought I think it was a bigger thrill for Episode 7. It seemed to be very, very small, obviously, for Rogue One, and this was kind of, I'd say, a third or half of what the Episode 7 Force Friday was like.
But do you think it was more than Rogue One, you said?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do, too. Yeah. I do, too. And Tom, I know how your Force Friday was, because, and so does everyone else, because we had it on show number 84. But what's kind of happened with you since we recorded that episode?
Yeah, that night was a blast being with the Coffee with Kenobi crew and Corey, of course. But I have to say, Scott, you mentioned several stores there that I have not crossed the doors of. I haven't been to JCPenney or Kohl's, and wasn't even on my radar. I stuck with the Walmart and the Toys R Us. And Dan, I have to say, the day after when we went, our Targets were not open at midnight here locally. But when I went the next day to Target, I thought it was a lot more exciting to go in and see. They had something right up at the front by the door. They had a lot of stuff up there that was fun to go through. And so we dug through that for a little bit and then went to the back. So I was disappointed Target was not open for the midnight opening, but going there the next day was definitely worthwhile. Just picked up a few things on the actual midnight opening. Did not find any Black Series, but so have picked up some Black Series here since. And actually, I guess I shouldn't say I did. You happened to find them and knew I wanted them, so you got those. But I would, you know, Scott, I totally agree with your assessment. It is not near the excitement and fanfare of the Force Awakens, but I'd put it number two of the three.
Well, I can't help but wonder if part of the apparent change in our excitement level was because it wasn't the first time. And we talked about this a lot for the fever of The Force Awakens versus Rogue One and The Last Jedi, which we'll know more about once December rolls around. But I had a ball with this, even though my displeasure with the availability of action figures was not high on my list. But as I said at the top of the show, I do now have the 3 3/4 inch Luke, thanks to the manager of our local Toys R Us, and I really, really appreciate that. And I kind of went wild. The first day, we already know what I got. But then I went to Target twice. I went to Walmart twice. And then Hasbro sent me an amazing package, which is on our Coffee with Kenobi Instagram page. But I ended up getting the Black Series Luke and Hera and Rey and Thrawn. So I was pretty thrilled with that.
Yeah, I did.
Also became Tom and Corey's errand boys too, but I was happy to do that for them. Very happy.
I actually managed to get Luke early.
Which one? The Black Series or the 3 3/4?
3 3/4 inch.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it looks great. It really does. It's funny. I was just complaining about Kohl's, but I went into our local Kohl's and I posted a bunch of pictures on my Twitter account when this happened. They had everything out days in advance, and they rung up. That's what I do now, because I had gone to Walmart and they had all the Funko Pops up, but when you scan them it said please see associate, which means you're not taking these home.
That's right.
but Kohl's, they rang up with not only the price but a 10% discount Star Wars toys. And what I brought home that day was the 3 3/4 inch Luke Skywalker and the Porg Funko Pop. And then I think the only other merchandise things I brought back outside of shirts was I found a plush Porg at the Disney store, and I bought Snoke's Funko Pop at Box Lunch, which is, I don't know if they have those in Chicago, but I think they're owned by Hot Topic, and it's called Box Lunch because basically it's a geek and pop culture store. And like every $20, $30 you spend, a portion of that money goes to buying a lunch for a needy family.
You introduced me to the store, and I found their online site. So I ordered the Luke Funko Pop and then the Chewie Funko Pop that has the Porg in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And just so ironic. Like, I love those Porgs now. And before they were just kind of like something amusing and something that would that was a good conversation piece, but I wasn't sure how I'd feel. I bought the Chewbacca 3 3/4 inch just because it came with a small Porg.
Yes.
It's just crazy. So
I saw a t-shirt at Walmart that had Chewbacca sitting and Porgs were all over the place. And it just said, "I speak Wookiee."
Oh, really? How funny mm-hmm. is that? Interesting. Oh. Well, speaking of interesting, we're going to open the show officially. Colin Trevorrow is out as the director of Episode 9. Now, numerous times throughout the last year and a half of Coffee with Kenobi, I've made no secret that made me nervous that he was on the project because it's the last one in the sequel trilogy. My disdain for Jurassic World is not quite the level of Pacific Rim, but it's definitely in that ballpark. And
oh boy.
So he's out. And I have a few thoughts on this. Actually, at three main points. One, the man, I obviously don't know his financial situation. I'm sure he's doing well. But I do not rejoice at anyone losing their job. I mean, he's a man. He's got a family. So that is unfortunate. And definitely wish he and his family nothing but the best. And I'm quite sure that he will find another amazing picture to direct and to write and to work on. The second thing is, I've heard a lot of people sort of saying that with Lucasfilm, you know, there's a little bit of concern, I guess is fair to say, about the Lucasfilm direction as far as what they're doing with the directors. But I find a lot of peace with this because I'd much rather decide early in the project that they're not satisfied with the direction it's going. Again, this is the exclamation point on the sequel trilogy, which will very much shape the future of Star Wars films for the next 10, 15 years. So I'd rather have a decision like this now and have a very high quality product with the end result. And my third point, I really can't remember what it was, so I'm sure it was really important. What do you guys think?
Well, when I caught this story, Dan, I knew from our conversation a while back on the show that I didn't feel like you would be terribly troubled by this, knowing your feelings for some of Trevorrow's former or past films. But in looking around here, just being on the web, and I keep coming across articles and from this or that website on Lucasfilm in trouble or what does this mean for Lucasfilm, and I think it just flat out means they're looking for a new director. Exactly. I don't think it's a disaster. I'm not on board with the there's something wrong on that directorial level. I think. Well, and I go back to, they're still in the collaborative stage of talking. They haven't even started filming the film yet. I mean, I know it's right around the corner, but they're still in that collaborative mode where, hey, if you're going to say, I don't like where this is going, this is the time to make that change. And so I don't see any issue with it. I'm excited to see who they choose to direct it now. And I actually kind of thought we might heard about that sooner than later, but that's pretty much where I stand with it.
Well, you prompted me to think of my third point, which is I don't think the other thing I see online is that people are questioning Lucasfilm's intentions when it comes to encouraging creativity, and I think they are very much encouraging creativity, and they have a creative say in the process as well. And if they meant to squash someone's creativity, then they would keep them on the project and continue to push them in directions that that person may not want to go. And that didn't happen. So to me, I think the creative process is very much alive. But part of being creative and collaborating is you don't agree with everything everyone does, because that's not true collaboration. So I find this, again, nothing but encouraging that the Lucasfilm property and Star Wars is going in a good place.
I just don't get worked up about this sort of thing. At the end of the day, I'm going to see the movie if it's Barney the Dinosaur that directs the film. I mean, I just don't get caught up in this. At the end of the day, all I care about, you know, I don't get caught up in this because at the end of the day, I just want to go and enjoy the film. You know, I mean, there's not anything I can really react to or do about who's directing what. You know, so I mean, the whole creativity thing, I think there's a couple of issues with that. I think that's the easiest reaction you can have because I don't see that being a problem with Rian Johnson, you know, who, you know, Mark Hamill talked about how when he saw what Rian wanted to do with Luke, at first he thought, oh, wow, this is not what I expected, and pretended like he even disagreed with it and wouldn't go with it, but he did. And everybody's got to kind of know their place here, you know. Lucasfilm knows what they want to do. They have a formula that's worked pretty well. And I think they're just doing what they have to do to continue with that formula. And just like anything else, you get more than one creative in a room. It's extremely possible you're not going to see eye to eye on things. The question becomes, how much do you not see eye to eye on? I like to compare this a little bit, even though it's not a direct correlation, to when Edgar Wright was involved in Ant-Man. It made perfect sense for him to be involved in it, but he and Marvel had different ways of looking at things. And you know, on paper, that looked terrible that Edgar Wright wasn't going to be involved in that. But Marvel was in a similar position. They had a formula. It's been working really, really well. And in their eyes, they have a way that they know they got to do it. And that may not, you know, jive with whoever they've hired to direct a film. So, I mean, it never really has to be a bad thing. Because the suggestion is, oh, well, this was the only guy that was going to make a good movie. Whoever they get now is going to be bad, and it's going to be bad for Lucasfilm. I mean, I don't understand to what end this is a bad thing. It's business. It happens. It happens in other businesses. And, you know, they're going to pick someone else. There's going to be an episode 9. It's not like this thing happened and now we're not going to get to see the end because the director's gone. So, you know, I'm much more comfortable with just watching what happens and then going to the theater and deciding if I like the film.
I must say, now I'm actually a little bit disappointed because this means if Scott's wish had come true, which is definitely, I'm putting in air quotes, then that meant that years down the road, I could see him walking down the street wearing a Star Wars Barney shirt. Well, that would have been great.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I agree, and definitely level heads here, because this is something that, again, this is part of Hollywood. It's part of the process. We've been seeing it a lot over the past month, quite honestly. And as long as you both said, as long as we get a good product at the end of the day, that's what's going to make us smile, because we know we'll have that to add to the legacy and the mythology of Star Wars. So we will go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we will talk with Tim Leong, the author of Star Wars Super Graphics. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Oh, pass the cream, would you?
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. I want to talk really briefly about Coffee with Kenobi Patreon page, but before I do that, I'd like to thank Jason Hall, Dennis Keithley, Angela Souse, Aaron Harris, Mediocre Jedi, Connie Shee, Terry Lee, BJ Smith, Nick Deco, Adam Leonard, Jim Capron, Mark Suter, Mike Audette, Eric Struthers, Jared Cantor, Swarasala, and Christo Hayden. Our Patreon page is a way for you to help us out with our show expenses, including the RSS feed, which is how we distribute our show to so many podcast channels and formats. It helps us host our webpage, and upkeep and travel for the show. There's a lot that goes into making a weekly Star Wars podcast, and we couldn't do it without your help. Donate anywhere from a dollar all the way up to wherever you feel the Force is calling you. And the incentives are really awesome as we go along. $5, you get recognition at the start of each show, a follow on Twitter. And then from that point on, we have a new feature called the Discord app. It's a way to chat with us on Coffee with Kenobi and with your fellow Patreon contributors. Last time when we talked about this, for $35 or more, you were able to start your own Discord channel chat. But we have changed that. Now, if you donate $10 or more, you are a part of the Discord feature. And it's really, really exciting. A lot of people are getting a part of that. We are posting our Force Friday gets, talking about the Star Wars Rebels Season 4 trailer and much more. There are a lot of wonderful things. In addition to that, you can get a CWK coffee mug, a t-shirt, or get a chance to host the show with me for one, two, or four times in 1 month. So be sure to check out the CWK Patreon page for more information and details. Tim Leong joins us today for a cup of coffee. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Tim is the creative director of Entertainment Weekly, as well as the author of Star Wars Supergraphic, which is a tremendous book I talked about on a previous show. And Tim, how did Star Wars Supergraphic come about?
Well, I had already done a kind of infographics book about comic books called Supergraphic about 4 years ago through Chronicle Books. And my editor there had an idea of, like, what if we did Supergraphic but with Star Wars? And I was like, yes, how do we do this ASAP? Sign me up. It was a very, very easy sell.
Yeah, and obviously you are a longtime Star Wars fan. Where does your Star Wars fandom come in? Is it all the way back to 77?
You know, well, I didn't see any of the original films in theaters. I was a bit too young for that. But we always had them on VHS, which is funny because I don't think my parents have actually seen all of them. But we had them on VHS when I was a kid, so I'd always liked it, and definitely got back in with the prequels when those came out, and just it's always been there for me. I've always been a Star Wars fan. I think it's in the last 5 or 6 years that I've really amped up my Star Wars intrigue and interest. But it's always I've always been a Star Wars fan. Not clearly as big as you, but definitely a big fan.
Well, I mean, this book is just staggering. We talked very briefly before we started doing the show here, and the research for this must have been equal parts staggering and wonderful at the same time, because there's so much, 40 years of Star Wars history. So what was the research like for this book?
Well, the way it started is that I you know, because I knew so much about Star Wars already, I was such a big fan, I just kind of sat down and just made a big list of ideas about different chart ideas, and really just tried to just think of anything that I could that could become a chart. And then I went back and rewatched all the movies. And then I'd already seen Rebels, but for some reason I just had kind of missed Clone Wars. So I went back and I watched Clone Wars for the first time and watched – and as I went through, just kind of jotted down and took as many notes as I could. Anytime someone mentioned different locations or numbers or any statistics or anything like that, I just jotted it down because I didn't know what I could maybe do with it later. But as I watched more and more, I was like, oh, okay, I can kind of connect some of these dots and help tell the story. Because I think the book, what I really like about the book and what I hope people enjoy about the book is the goal was to really make the galaxy smaller for people, right? Like, I think there's just so much fantastic Star Wars content out there. And the more that I really researched, the more that I saw how connected and intricate all these storylines are. And I think for the lay people, the people that maybe don't listen to Star Wars podcasts, there are just – they don't quite realize how complex – and intricate this world is. And I think sometimes stepping into that can be overwhelming, you know, because there's so much material, you know, like, sure, there's like 7 movies, but like there's all these books and TV shows and comic books and all these different things. And I think if you, I just wanted the book to be kind of like take you by the hand and lead you through and kind of help explain how this all fits together in a fun and easy way.
It does. It certainly does. It connects dots and it makes connections to things that I hadn't even talked about. I mean, you can just look at the cover, which has a graph of Yoda, patience versus poor grammar, which as an educator, I find really entertaining. But I can't imagine when you were sitting there and doing the research, I assume hours and hours went into this each day, which Star Wars homework is always fun. But I'm interested in one of the things especially is the size and the scope of the different planets compared to one another, especially, if, I guess, if you could count a planet, Starkiller Base versus a Death Star.
Right. Right. So I definitely, you know, I watched all the book, watched all the movies, TV shows. I read most of the canon books. I don't think I got through all of them, but definitely looked at synopses and looked for interesting data through them. Read a lot of the comics. I don't think I got through all of them. But then also a bunch of reference books as well. And there were some great Atlas books that were out that I pulled some of that data from. Some of it, I think, all the information was then vetted through Lucasfilm. And so they were able to kind of just double check some of those planet sizes, for instance. And, well, actually, this is like this, you know, this many kilometers wide instead of X, you know.
Oh, sure. And when you've got access to Lucasfilm and they're working with you, I think that just sort of is probably invigorating because, you know, of course, fans are going to say, well, is this canon? Well, the answer is yes, it is canon.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they were fantastic partners on this. I really loved working with them. And they were, you know, it was, you know, scary for me, too, because it's like, oh, hey, is this right? Do we have answers on this? And, you know, sometimes yes, sometimes no. But they were really great to work with.
Did you get to go to Lucasfilm at any point?
I did not. I've been to the ranch in an unrelated way. But no, but I didn't get to go there just timing-wise. Because email was just so efficient.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Well, it was a pretty condensed timeline.
Sure.
I think the whole first draft of the book was done in 4 months, which is very fast for me.
It's impressive.
Thanks. You know, we were just really wanted to make sure that it was out before Last Jedi. So we were just kind of rushing to try to meet all of our deadlines.
Well, won't it be interesting, too, when The Last Jedi comes out, the solo film, et cetera, how this will impact future editions of Super Graphic?
Yeah, after we do everything.
That'll be fun, won't it? So what are some of the more standout things that you learned through your research? Because there had to be some things that were eye-opening.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that was really interesting to me, one of the charts that I really loved the most was it's a breakdown of every Jedi's lightsaber color.
I love that one too.
Just because that hadn't really been collated in a way before. And, I just loved kind of seeing them all together. And who had what, I was able to find most of them, but had a couple questions for them about a few others, but I was, I think one thing that they had said was, Tara Sanube's from Clone Wars, Master Sanube, his lightsaber is light blue. Now, I thought it was like white, but it's light blue. That was one that was, that's fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. And then when you were keeping track of the different times dialogue was used, especially in the different variations of I've got a bad feeling about this, I hadn't really realized how many derivations of that famous phrase there are.
Yeah, well, you know, before, you know, building brands was a thing, you know, they built a really strong brand, you know, going back to the original trilogy. And I think having that pop up in every film is it's great. You know you're going to hear it. It's like the James Bond music, you know.
Sure.
It's so iconic. I think that's what's so great about Star Wars is that there's just so many great iconic pieces to it, not only visually, but with sound effects. There's just so many great iconic things to play from, which in turn helped make the book a little bit easier to do because there are so many obvious things to kind of that help bring the reader in.
Oh, sure. And not only do you have a plethora of wonderful moments of verisimilitude here that can really get fans discussing what's going on, but you've got some behind the scenes stuff too, even with the different transition, the different wipes that they have, which of course Rian Johnson's been talking about on Twitter recently too.
Yeah, I saw that. That was one where I actually had to hire an outside freelancer, just because the scope of my day job was so wide that, sure, that I just could not watch all those movies with such detail and track that. That was one that was just like, you know what, I need to be efficient with my time to make sure I can't spend like a week on this one chart. But so that was one where I hired an outside freelancer to help do that data pull. But that was a fun one.
Oh, very fun. And since this is a book about graphics, the layout and the design of the book is really beautiful. How much input do you have in that?
Well, I designed the whole thing.
Well, then a lot.
That's why I love working with Chronicle, is that they definitely give me a lot of leeway, to design the cover and design the inside. And all the charts, they've been fantastic publishers. But yeah, so the process is, right, like getting the idea, doing the research, design the chart, and then write the extra information on top of that. So it's a very intensive process, and I just need to come up with a book idea that doesn't actually require me to do 7 different steps like that. Maybe just writing or just design, but when you put them together, it gets a little complicated.
Oh, it's really incredibly well designed as well as written. So you've got so many different pieces of information. What were some of the things that didn't make the cut that you were having a hard time deciding if you should put it in or not, if you're allowed to say?
It's less of like, should we put it in, and more of just like, does the data exist? I think that's the tough part. You know, when I did that first book, Supergraphic, it was easier and harder in some ways. Easier in that, let's say for one spread, I can just talk about The Walking Dead, right? So I have 100 issues of The Walking Dead to pull from for this one spread, right? So it's easier in that I have so much more information, but more difficult because I have to then go read through 100 issues just to do one spread in the book. In this one, it's, you know, again, easier and difficult, but for different reasons. It's easier because there's only 7 movies or 8, and it's a couple of TV series and some books, that it's a lot easier of a research pull to go through everything and do all the research. But more difficult because there's only so much canon information out there, right? There isn't 70 years of data for this one specific thing. So because it's more limited, that definitely became more challenging the deeper you go into the planning process, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Plus, like you said, there's just a lot to kind of to weed through and decide what goes where. And the results are wonderful. We've had a lot of good response just on Coffee with Kenobi about the book as well. And where can people purchase the book?
Oh, well, you can order a copy of Supergraphic, Star Wars Supergraphic, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any place you buy your books.
Oh, certainly.
Chroniclebooks.com.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We will have links to all that in the show notes, and I am sure that the response to the book has been wonderful.
It's been really nice. I'm really thankful for everyone's support. I don't like working on stuff that I'm not passionate about. I love Star Wars. You know, my wife was really afraid that at the end of this process, I wouldn't like Star Wars anymore, but the opposite is true. So I'm just like really passionate about it. And I'm definitely have a lot personally invested in it. So if it brings anyone any joy, that's worth it for me.
Well, it has definitely brought me joy, and it's brought up a lot of great conversation with my students as well, which I definitely plan to carry on with me for the rest of my career as a high school educator. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, there's a teacher's guide too. I'll make sure we send that over to you.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And I mean, this is literally like, this is the power of research and analysis and creative thinking, which is so important in the educational world. And I can show students, hey, look, this is the kind of result of what happens when you do your research, when you do your due diligence. So it's really, really cool.
Well, you know, charts don't have to be boring. You know, they could be super fun.
Absolutely. And where can people reach out to you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Oh, sure. I am on Twitter, Instagram, at Tim Leong.
Perfect. And again, we'll have links to that in the show notes. Tim, thank you so much for having a cup of coffee with us. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm going to add some blue milk to my coffee over here.
Perfect.
Greetings. This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, the Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun, too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
Back, and this is going to be an easy transition because Tom has obviously already been hosting the show with us. So Tom, change your hat really quickly from co-host to CWK newsman.
Wednesday, the New York Times posted an article with excerpts of an interview with The Last Jedi director Rian Johnson. With all the recent directorial shifts in the news, Johnson confirmed that he has been in complete control of the film. When he said he took the job, he was expecting there to be a large map with a story laid out, but it wasn't like that. Johnson says that he was given the Force Awakens script, then he got to frequently see what Force Awakens director J.J. Abrams was doing, and then it was a where do we go from here? When Johnson is asked about the meaning of the title, The Last Jedi, he confirms that this is in reference to Luke. He says, it's in the opening crawl of The Force Awakens.
Yes. For heaven's sakes, why is this a mystery? Sorry, go ahead.
And that's why we keep having Scott back on.
Exactly. That is fantastic. Luke Skywalker is the last Jedi coming into the film, and he is the last Jedi in our film. The heart of the story is Luke and Rey, Johnson confirms. While the film follows all the other characters, it is absolutely tied up in Luke's attitude toward the Jedi. He does also mention in the interview that every story is told from a certain point of view. I'm not sure where I've heard that before, but it certainly seems wise advice.
It is. And as Scott said, I feel like while it was nice to have a little bit of ambiguity because, yes, it could have been about Rey or what have you, at this point in the galaxy, Luke is the last Jedi, which again shows us obviously, we've had quite an influx of Jedi that have appeared since Disney took over with Kanan and Ezra and a number of other things in the comics. And that's all fine and good and very entertaining. And actually, it makes it a little more believable that, I mean, as big as this galaxy is and as powerful as Vader and Palpatine are, it takes a lot of effort and coordination to try to find all the Jedi. But at this point, it's just Luke. And I love this. I think it's a cool thing. Definitely will put a lot of debate to rest.
Well, and I feel like the trailer really led to that whole conversation, that whole discussion when Luke says the Jedi must end. It just, you know, and I remember, I don't know if it was you or someone that was on the show with us when that came out, said, you know, is Jedi singular or plural? And I just sort of got, me personally, I got wrapped up with that whole statement
sure
that Luke says, and it just never occurred to me that, oh, the opening crawl of Force Awakens. I got wrapped up in the hype, I will admit.
Well, hey, that's part of the fun. And I like that it's singular and plural because, again, ambiguity is one of the reasons we even have Star Wars podcasts, because there's lots to discuss. What else do you have for us?
Well, this week, Han Solo film director Ron Howard introduced a new member, Paul Bettany, with a tweet from the set of the film. Howard tweeted, quote, "The Outer Rim just got a little bit wilder. Hashtag Paul Bettany." Bettany has worked with Howard on films such as A Beautiful Mind and The Da Vinci Code, but he may be best known as the Vision and the voice of Jarvis from the Avengers franchise. It is not clear what role Bettany will play in the Han Solo film, but the announcement, interestingly, comes just a week or so after the announcement that Michael Kenneth Williams' character will be cut from the film as he is unable to reshoot several scenes because of scheduling conflicts.
And that's got to be hard on you, I'm sure, if you're all set to be in a Star Wars movie and then all these things happen and you're not able to be in it. But Paul Bettany is in it, and this is another coup because he's a brilliant actor. I mean, when you mentioned Da Vinci Code, I completely forgot he was, I can't think of the character's name in that film, but he was very creepy, very sinister, very dark. And then he can play people with very, very good hearts and good souls. He's a tremendous actor, and whatever he does, I'm kind of leaning towards something smarmy and that will be an interesting compliment to Han Solo and sort of his overall personality. This is an exciting thing. Really cool.
Yeah, unless it would be kind of interesting, though, wouldn't it? Especially since Disney has both properties that suddenly in the Millennium Falcon, you see a bumper sticker that says Jarvis is my co-pilot.
Well, you know,
before Chewie.
That's right. I love his voice, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, and I was really really pleased to see this news because one of my measures of a great actor is when they're announced and said they're in a film, I stop and think, wait a minute, that person was in that film? And I think of, I believe it was Silas was the monk he played in the Da Vinci Code. Does that sound right?
That does sound right.
Yeah. Never would have placed that with the actor. Same thing with, and this is just me being naive, but I never saw him as the Vision either. You know, I usually look at a character first, actor second. But I can't wait to see him in the show.
I don't think that's naive either. I think that just shows you that, I mean, he's not necessarily just a character actor. He's just an actor. He can take on any role.
And we'll wrap up tonight's news with Star Wars Galactic Knights is returning to Disney's Hollywood Studios. On December 16th, Disney will open the gates after hours from 7 till midnight for a Hollywood treatment to fans of Star Wars to celebrate the Star Wars saga. The night includes a red carpet welcome to fans, photo opportunities, and special character appearances with, well, Darth Vader, Ewoks, troopers, and more. New this year will be a special stage show titled Star Wars: A Galaxy Far, Far Away. In addition, there will be a galactic fireworks show that will fly over the park. Also, there'll be an exclusive Galaxy's Edge panel discussion on the new 14-acre Star Wars expansion that's expected to open in 2019. Fans can look forward to other exclusives, including Jedi recruitment for kids, which I'm always disappointed when they say that that's just for kids, and Star Wars-themed food and beverage offerings and more. Tickets start at $129 for adults, and annual pass holders and Disney Vacation Club members, of course, will see discounts on that price.
The only downside to go ahead, Scott.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just wondering, isn't that around the same time they're going to open up like that virtual immersive Secrets of the Empire or whatever it's called thing that they're putting into Disney Springs?
That's right. And of course,
I believe,
Last Jedi comes out too. That's going to be the last one was during Celebration Orlando. And I attended that with Corey Club and Jeff McGee and Dennis Keithley. And it was easily one of the most wonderful Star Wars experiences and Disney experiences that I've ever had. The only thing that I'm a bit remorseful about with this announcement is that I don't think I'm going to be there. The last one was, if you are in the Orlando area or are going to be at Disney World during this time, it's a must do. I mean, it's a little more pricey. It's an extra ticket, but you have the entire park to yourself, except for, you know, there are Star Wars fans all over. But they close the park to regular guests during the day. The merchandise is exclusive, which I know, Scott, is something that you love. And I've got some great coffee mugs from the experience. T-shirts, great, the logo. And when you walk through, they hand you these huge bags with stuff in it, exclusive merchandise. And you get this beautiful lanyard. It's just, I could not emphasize enough how wonderful this thing is.
Well, I definitely think it's a nice, it's a wonder. I remember you coming back from that, Dan, and your stories were fantastic. I think it's a great tip of the hat to Star Wars fans. And it just sounds like a exciting thing. The one part that I left out, maybe I did it on purpose, so subtly on purpose, is that they do have some of the rides open, and but those would definitely be, you know, those roller coasters I just can't do anymore. We talked about that the other day, Dan.
Yeah.
And but what a tip of the hat to fans, and a great opportunity for some unique experiences for sure.
Yeah, I wrote about the first collecting nights for StarWars.com, and one of the featured things that was a part of Galactic Nights was that the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster, they took out all the Aerosmith music, and they had all of the lights off, and then it was just Star Wars music when you went through. And it was cool. It was really cool. It did add a bit of a different dimension to it, kind of a different smile on your face. I love that ride anyway, but I understand what you're saying, Tom. The older I get, the more challenging it is to do that, because I believe your body's chemistry is not as good with the whole equilibrium shifting as it is when we are young. In our younger days,
so
but
true.
It's great. It's great stuff. Scott, you think you'll drive down for this?
Oh, I did that drive once when I was in high school, and I said, I don't want to have to do this again. So if I go down there, it's gonna, I would have to be able to fly. I would love to go back. It's been challenging to go back. That would be awesome. The thing is, I mean, December is also an extremely busy time at the park anyway, especially mid-December. We were there one time around December, and I think they filled it up so much they had to actually close the doors to the park and not let anybody else in because it was so full of people. And I'm pretty sure that was December because, you know, you got the holiday Disney thing happening around there too. So. But I wouldn't want that to discourage anyone because, like you said, at least for that particular event, it's just Star Wars fans. So maybe, you know, at least you get a day where it may not be as crowded.
Now I realize that not only is it going to be Star Wars and Disney, but it's going to be Christmas. So three of my very favorite things of all time.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to start selling lemonade or something.
Yeah, me too. I'll open a franchise down here and we'll just put our funds together.
I like it. I like it. I think that we've got a marketing plan now. Well, very good. Well, thanks, Tom. And please stick around because up next, we are going to look at the season 4 trailer of Star Wars Rebels. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee, tea, or me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi has been sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old with the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. So we've seen the Star Wars Rebels Season 4 trailer. It just kind of sprung on us, I believe. Was it Saturday or Sunday of Labor Day weekend? I believe it was Saturday. Does that sound right?
That does sound right.
I think
yeah.
So. And obviously we know this is the last season. And we know it's a shortened season. And we also have seen, Scott, you saw the premiere, right? At Celebration?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. As did I. We know kind of the overall tone of this thing. And it's dark, and there's loss. And before we kind of jump into that even more, I'd love to know both of your overall thoughts on what we saw with the trailer.
Well, I still find myself, there were some nice things, some nice kind of wow moments or intriguing moments, but I still find myself, and obviously this is intentional, wondering where this is all going to end, you know, with it being the last season, considering that at least as of now, we don't see or hear from these characters in any of the films or anything outside of the, you know, references from Rogue One. Which, speaking of Rogue One, it was kind of cool hearing Krennic's name in the Stardust trailer. Yeah, and Stardust. I think it looks really, really good, but it kind of reminded me a little bit of the Episode 8 trailer, where it was just so many flashes of things versus really getting at least for me, a full sense of the narrative, other than, you know, the aspects that we kind of knew going in with the Mandalorians and, you know, the decisions that Ezra is going to have to make and those type of things. But I'm really interested to see exactly how this all shakes out concerning being the last one, and how these characters are going to kind of wrap everything up and what that means for the future with those characters, if anything.
I'll say my initial reaction when I saw it come up and sat down and watched it. And Dan, you know, I watch Rebels with my 10-year-old daughter. And so we both got together and we put it up on the screen, our big TV screen, and we watched it. And both of us looked at each other, and I could tell that she was thinking probably about the same thing I was. And it was, we know how Rogue One ends. Are we going to see similar fates here? And she just and her reaction was almost mine, in the same that I think both of us were starting to get tears in our eyes because we've come to love these characters. We've come to love these characters so much. And so that was our initial reaction, but so many more emotions in further telling that I'm sure will come out through the conversation.
Well, you both nailed it, of course, that this has been a series that we've really connected with. And I think that we connected with the Clone Wars, but that was different for whatever reason. It was obviously went on longer, but it ended without Dave Filoni being able to tell the full arc, the full story he wanted to tell. And now he gets to do it, which I think adds to the power that's going to have and the magnitude it's going to have on the Star Wars mythology and franchise. There's definitely, it's clearly dark, it's clearly ominous, and there's going to be real fear of loss because, as you said, Tom, we don't know what the end game is for these characters. We know they're not in A New Hope, or if they are, they're somewhere off camera, and that makes it scary. That makes it something where you are going to be kind of grabbing your armchair and thinking, what's going to happen? Are they going to make it out of this? Because we don't know. Now, they also play up quite a bit that we're going to see some sort of results of the whole Kanan and Hera history. At least we see that they're going to address it much more specifically and clearly, as are they Ezra and his connection with nature and wildlife. And they mentioned that he's got he says maybe that's not the way to fight. So I don't know what that means. They really kind of went away from Ezra's dark side besides the very first episode of season 3. So that makes me as nervous as anything, because I want him to stay fully on the light side.
One thing I couldn't help but think about was, you know, just all the themes that we just discussed that are in this trailer, and the anticipation for this series and the connection that so many fans have with these characters. It's really something to think about all of that and then think back to when this show first came out, and there was all this talk of, oh, geez, this is going to be the Disneyfication of Star Wars. This is going to be a little kiddie show and no one's going to like it. And then here we are.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's what really strikes me. You know, when you look at like that room filled with people at Celebration that were in the sound everybody made when Dave said that this is the last season, and the reaction everybody had when they got to see the first episode. I mean, that's a far, far, far cry from all that talk going into that first episode of that first season.
That is a really good point. And thank goodness, by the way, that there is a Disneyfication of Star Wars, because it's probably better than it's ever been overall. with everything right. connected and the amount of product and the amount of exposure it's getting. And yeah, you're right. I remember when he said that, it's almost like the air kind of got let out of the room. And I felt that because I love this show and we've made some great relationships with the show and some of the people who have worked on it. But the thing is, I was somewhat, I won't say I was relieved because I wasn't relieved, but I was also happy because I knew I'd get some sort of a resolution to the story. And I've always believed that you have to have resolution to have a proper, powerful story. And so we're going to get that. Let's talk about some maybe specific images or quotes. We mentioned Tarkin saying Krennic's name. That sounded like Stephen Stanton is Tarkin. I'm sure that it probably is. But mm-hmm. one of the things that I was the most excited about was the X-Wings.
Yeah.
And seeing Hera in that X-Wing outfit.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, you know, that the X-Wings are always a crowd pleaser.
Any yeah. things that jumped out for either of you besides that?
Well, I'll say the very beginning of the trailer is what I think I may like the best. It's hard to say because it's such a great series of images and flashes. But this is the first season. I will say all along, Ezra has not necessarily always been my favorite character. It's not that I didn't like him. It's just I've always looked forward to the stories of some of the other characters. But this season, based on the two trailers, I'm most anxious for his story. I love the way, and I'm looking forward to the episode where he's looking at the cave drawings. And maybe of what I'm excited about is we're going to maybe find some more history of the Jedi here and more of the path that they have to choose. Because, you know, we've seen the path of Anakin that didn't go the way we wanted it to go. Or maybe some of us did. I don't know. But here's an opportunity to see another young Jedi. Well, and we saw Luke. So there's a lot of Jedi we've seen. But I'm anxious to see what does Ezra learn.
I agree. And Ezra is interesting, too, because I was with you. I liked and appreciated him fine, but when I read the kids' novel, Ezra's Gamble, that came out during the first season of Rebels, and Ezra teams up through most of that novel with Bossk of all, mm-hmm. all characters, that made me really like Ezra. And then just chatting with Taylor Gray and seeing Ezra grow, and he definitely has some things that he experiences. He's dynamic, and when you look at Twin Sons, for example, that was a nice blend of the Rebels universe with the classic trilogy, and the way that they complemented one another, and it kind of makes you realize yet again that this whole series is told through Ezra's eyes. And there's even an image in this trailer where you see Ezra's eyes, and it's almost, and he's got that look that he gets when he communicates with nature. Almost looks like light speed in its own way. So. He's racing towards his destiny, too, and I think that's going to be awesome. And, by the way, we haven't mentioned, but we have an actual date for the premiere of Season 4, too.
Mm-hmm. It's like October 16th, right?
I have no idea.
That is correct. Yes, October 16th.
let's try that again. October 16th for sure. Okay. And guys, we have a date for Star Wars Rebels Season 4. What day is that?
I think it's October 16th.
16th.
Yeah, that's, wow. Talk about a cacophony of wisdom here. That's good. That's very good. Yeah, I'm thrilled for it. It looks like, I'm just guessing, I don't have a calendar in front of me per se, but I have a feeling that this is going to end right before The Last Jedi hype really kicks into high gear. Does that make sense? Or do you mm-hmm. think they will keep it on? So we'll have it after in January and February.
I have no idea because what's different is we're going to get two Star Wars movies in 6 months. So on top of it all, they're having to plan out when do we start hyping Han Solo right after everybody calms down after seeing Episode 8.
That's a very good point. I hadn't thought about that.
I hadn't thought about that either. I guess I just assumed that it would take on the same look as the past seasons, and it would take a break over the holiday and come back in January.
We do know for sure that it is one arc. Season 4 is basically one story. Mm. So it's going to be much more tightly connected There won't be, quote, any filler episodes. I can't think of a single episode of Rebels that was a filler episode, by the way. But they're all going to be a part of this, the main focal point of the story. So it's, I think we're not going to be able to take much of a breath of air because it's going to be really coming at us really intensely.
I want more AP5.
Maybe him singing again.
And by the way, my brother and I were talking about that character, another great Stephen Stanton character.
Yes.
They need an action figure for him. Oh, I mean, yeah. I laughed out loud several times at just the way he said stuff and how he said it. And I think that he was kind of the comic relief of the show, especially when things got a little tense. So I really liked AP5. I want more AP5, and I want them to make a action figure for him.
Oh man, they've got to. He would be really, really fun. Yeah, he's pretty entertaining. There have been a lot of great characters that have come out of Rebels, and I'm sure we'll have a look back at the entire series. I also believe, and I have no inside information for this, but as you said, Scott, we've got the Last Jedi hype, and who knows how long calendar-wise season 4 of Rebels is going to last, and they're going to transition to the Han Solo hype. So don't you feel like they're going to have another major Star Wars animated series that's going to replace Rebels?
Yes.
There has to be. So surely we'll see something about that pretty soon as well.
I'm sure they already know.
They've probably got a lot of it going, but I'm sure that's something we won't see until probably next fall. Hard to say. Really hard to say. Do either of you have a preference as to what new animated series you would like to see? What era would it take place in? What characters would you like to see?
I think we have some great books that link Jedi to Force Awakens, and I think there's some really cool potential for stories there. Although I'd like to, I don't know. I think it'd be neat to see Rey or something that builds up to Rey. I know a lot of this generation makes a lot of connections with her. And so I can see some potential there.
You know, when they were talking about doing the live action series back with McCallum and George, you know, part of the point of that was, you know, it was going to be kind of the like seedy underbelly of the universe, the bounty hunters, and, you know, maybe down in the lower depths of Coruscant or something. But the key there was it was all about bounty hunters and criminals and scoundrels, but not necessarily Jedi. And, you know, what was kind of a unique element of Rogue One was a similar situation where, you know, these rogue agents and these freedom fighters having the story that didn't really have a Jedi. So it would be interesting if they went that route, you know, where they kind of got away from Force users and again focused a new story on those other people that were integral parts of the rebellion and the fight against the Empire. And I would be even happier if it took place around that time and we got to have Chirrut back because he was one of my very favorite characters from Rogue One. And I was kind of always disappointed that he got that one badass fight scene. And that's really about all I got. He got a little move there at the push on Scarif, but, and I know he's got, you know, they've got the book, but I would love for him to get a little more spotlight because there was just so much coolness and intrigue with him not being, you know, a saber wielding Jedi, but still had the Force and still had his own way of using it. And it was still just as cool. So, maybe there's some option there to really, be able to tell some of those non-Jedi stories, especially if the plan down the road is maybe you don't focus as much on them, depending on how everything shakes out in the sequel trilogy.
True. Very true. I one era of Star Wars I would like to see explored is the time before The Force Awakens, when Luke was starting his new Jedi, I don't want to say academy, because that reminds us of the Legend series, which isn't necessarily bad. It's just there's that association there. So seeing he train a young Ben Skywalker, I think, would be amazing. Highly doubt that'll be it, because that seems like a huge story that would be made for the silver screen. again, hard to say what they would do with that, but I'm pretty sure that until we see the end credits of Episode 9, that particular era, that 30-year era, is probably going to be largely unexplored.
You know, the other thing is, you know, I know that there's somebody working on a treatment for an Obi-Wan movie. And if it goes well, that could be the next spinoff, if I understood it correctly. And, you know, one of the things that fans have talked a lot about is wanting to see like a variation of John Jackson Miller's Kenobi book, you know, telling that story of Obi-Wan living in exile and kind of having to, you know, keep it low while keeping an eye on Luke as he grows up. And, you know, we got that really, really sweet scene in Rebels where for just a few moments we saw Obi-Wan looking out at the Lars farm at Luke as a child. And I know that that did a lot for me and it did a lot for other people, not to mention the amazing work of Stephen Stanton sounding like Alec Guinness. So, you know, what if they did something like that? If they chose not to go that route in the film, what if they ran with those great elements of Rebels and maybe told a portion of that story of Obi-Wan and some of the things that were going on while he was watching Luke grow up? Because people have been asking for some visual representation of that ever since John wrote that book.
That's a good call. That's probably one of my favorite books in the Legends line. It was right before, of course, the Legends line changed. And
yeah,
I mean, that's tricky too, because we've had some stuff in the comics about what happens with Ben and Luke, and Ben overseeing Luke. So that's, I don't know, there's so much to explore, and there's probably some eras we haven't even thought about or specific angles we haven't even considered. And maybe it'll be a continuation of the Rebels story. Some of these characters, hard to say. So we'll go ahead and take our last break, and when we come back, Paul Loughlin will share an MP3 about his time in Skilling. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is... yes.
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsor, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archive shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Player FM, our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. And here's Paul's MP3.
Hey Dan and everyone at Coffee with Kenobi, it's Paul Loughlin here, coming to you from County Kerry, Ireland. Specifically today I'm coming from Skellig Michael, as you all probably know, the location used for Ashto in The Force Awakens and the upcoming Last Jedi. I'm currently on Porg Watch 2017 as we speak, and no luck at the minute, haven't found any Porgs yet, but I have come across a couple of Puffins, which are said to be the distant relative to the Porg, but I will keep an eye out for them, so I will, along with any self-exiled Jedi Masters and Wookiees that might be hanging out around here. It's a beautiful day out here in Skellig Michael, so it is. The sun is shining, so it is. The day is nice and calm. I've taken plenty of pictures, so I have, which I'll send over to the website so you can take a look at, and a small bit of a write-up, which I hope everyone will enjoy. And I just want to say, love the podcast. I look forward to new episodes. Never miss an episode, and Coffee with Kenobi is the podcast I'm looking for. Thanks very much, guys. Keep up the great work. Talk soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for that, Paul. And Paul has an amazing article with some incredible pictures that we're going to have on our website, coffeewithkenobi.com, in the very, very near future, including some pictures of Puffins, which, as we talked about when Mark Newell was on recently, that basically it seems like the Porgs were created because there were so many Puffins on the island. They wanted to obviously they couldn't disturb nature, so that's kind of where the porgs came. And when you look at these pictures, guys, it's going to really hit you like how amazing the comparison between these two is. So a big thank you to Scott Murray and Tom Gross for having some coffee with all of us. Where can listeners get in touch with each of you if they want to ask either of you a question or just say hello?
Well, you can catch me. I'm always here on Coffee with Kenobi doing the news. But you can catch me on Twitter at DraftLine.
And I am at Assembly of Geeks and ScottMurrayOnline.com and on Twitter at Mr. Scott Murray.
And by the way, if you're interested in or considering starting a podcast, Scott does some great stuff on his Twitter account and has created kind of another awesome side place to showcase his talents too. And everything that you share, I find really valuable too. So I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
And thank you to each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We will be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars talk. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.